shows here at Mutiny Radio. Also, the IC podcast. That's the Imprint City podcast coming soon. MutinyRadio.fm. New shows, you can have one too. Contact director at MutinyRadio.fm to find out more details. And check us out at MutinyRadio.fm.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to Women's Magazine. This is Global Val here, MutinyRadio.fm, San Francisco's Mission District. Thanks for tuning in this fine, fine Friday. It is March 23rd, 2018. Spring has sprung. The grass is riz. I wonder where the flowers is. That's not an original, but I forget who said it. Sorry. Anyhow, actually, blue skies do abound, a little puffy white clouds, a little bit past the rain that we're very grateful to have gotten this past week. But here we are in California, still looking at a season of drought. But thankfully, the Sierras got, you know, many, many feet of snow over the past few weeks. And that helps to, you know, restore and our water supplies. And as we know, water is life. Thank you for tuning in today. I have a guest coming in at 2:30. So stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it, because today I am interviewing the president of the Board of Supervisors of San Francisco, London Breed. She is a front runner for mayor, if I may say so. She served as acting mayor after the untimely, unexpected death of our previous mayor, Ed Lee, back in December. She was replaced by a caretaker mayor who is not eligible to run in the June election. But I'm really excited to have London Breed come in here today. She grew up here in San Francisco. She grew up in public housing. She was raised by her grandmother. She has been a community servant for her entire career. And I've been going to a lot of the mayoral candidate forums. And, you know, it's great to have all of the candidates, or the majority of the candidates, all together in order, you know, to answer questions and occasionally ask each other questions, but they don't really get a whole lot of time to really talk policy. There's a lot of questions, very complex questions that have been submitted ahead of time or by the audience. And then the moderator says, okay, everybody, you have 2 minutes to answer that question. So I'm doing here on at Mutiny Radio on Women's Magazine with Global Val, and occasionally continuing on to the Common Thread Collective, which happens after this show. It's Global Val's election season coverage. So I'm really happy that a lot of the candidates have agreed to come in. I interviewed Angela Alioto, who is also running for mayor. This is our third run for mayor. She came in on March 9th. So that podcast is available. And also we interviewed Amy Farrah Weiss on the Common Thread Collective on February 23rd. So that podcast is available, both of them on mutinyradio.fm. And we're also on iTunes now. We have a little podcast angel at the station who put our show onto iTunes, oddly enough. So it's under the free podcast section, but it is a little interesting because there's so many comedy shows at Mutiny Radio that we kind of got put into the comedy section. I don't know if anything that I say is very funny, but occasionally, but that's where you'll find it if you're looking on iTunes or you're trying to tell them kids how to find this stuff. Anyhow, it is great to be here. I'm really excited to talk to London Breed later today. And for now, I'm going to play a little music for you and be right back. Here's some music from Emma's Revolution.
Now and forevermore, peaceful at the surface and peaceful at the core. All the joy within my heart would be so free to soar, and we're living on a living planet, circling a living star. I don't know where we're going, but I know we're going far. We can change the universe by being who we are, and we're living on a living planet, circling a living star. And if all the world knew justice now and forevermore, justice at the surface and justice at the core, all the joy within my heart would be so free to soar, and we're living on a living planet, circling a living star. I don't know where we're going, but I know we're going far. We can change the universe by being who we are, and we're living on a living planet, circling a living star. And if all the world knew freedom now and forevermore, freedom at the surface and freedom at the core, all the joy within my heart would be so free to soar. And we're living on a living planet, circling a living star. I don't know where we're going, but I know we're going far. We can change the universe by being who we are, and we're living on a living planet.
We are indeed living on a living planet, and let's not forget it. We've seen a lot of actions being filed and taken by the Environmental Protection Agency in this past couple of weeks, who now that it's led by a climate change denier, Scott Pruitt, who sued the EPA a number of times in Oklahoma before he became the head of the EPA, they would like to do away with some of the rules that would make it, that would require mining companies to have enough money on hand in case of a spill. So there's a lot of shady dealings going on that are not acting on behalf of all of our living brothers, sisters, and so on this living planet. So, you know, tune in and keep paying attention and keep talking about these things. Here's something to talk about. This is Women's Magazine. And this week in California, it was announced that California will have its first female leader of the California State Senate. She is also part of the LGBT community. So, Toni Atkins will make history Wednesday when she becomes the first woman and first lesbian to hold the California Senate's top job. A former Assembly Speaker, Atkins is taking over the post of Senate President pro tem from fellow Democrat Kevin DeLeon as the chamber gears up for election season and faces a number of thorny challenges, including a reckoning over sexual misconduct, a loss of Democratic supermajority, and an icy relationship with the state assembly. That I'm reading this out of the Mercury News. You know, women are coming up in politics right here in San Francisco. The mayor's race is comprised mostly of female candidates, and it's a really interesting time. 2018. I think about the day that I went out to Civic Center back on the Women's March, which this year was January 21st. It was the second annual Women's March, and there were so many amazing and inspiring speakers that day talking about how people across the country are organizing to stand up to the
Hey Mutiny Radio listener, we're gonna get started here. I'm gonna do a quick promo for the upcoming Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival. Here we go. Darn it. Go back to the beginning of that song. Here we go. Mutiny Radio listener, it's that time of year again. March 1st through 5th, it's time for the 4th Annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival. Over 40 comics, 25 shows, 5 days, all here at Mutiny Radio, 2781 21st Street at Florida Street. 25 shows, 5 days, amazing comics from all over the United States here in San Francisco to entertain you. With 25 differently themed shows hosted by local San Francisco comedians, bringing you comedians from all over the United States here. Everything will be live, live streaming, and podcast post. Get your tickets, $10 a show, 25 shows, a million laughs. It's the 4th Annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival, brought to you by Benders, Counteroffer, and Subliminal SF.
Where are you now? Where did you stay?
Thanks for tuning in to Women's Magazine. I'm Global Val. You're listening to MutinyRadio.fm, and it is Friday. As I'm here every Friday, it's great to be here and happy to have you tuning in. So it is springtime. We just passed the spring equinox. So the seasons are changing. Easter is around the corner, and it's always a good time to remember that a lot of the modern holidays, Christian holidays, really kind of piggybacked onto ancient holidays. The rites of spring, the celebration of goddesses, of fertility, of life, hence the eggs and the little bunnies of springtime, that has no direct correlation with the Jesus story. But yet it's all kind of conflated, into one big, chocolate filled holiday. And, it's a great time of year to celebrate life. As we see the rains come and go and the new, plants come up, the flowers. And I want to remind everybody that it is a great time to plant your spring garden. Here in San Francisco, at least in the Bay Area, we have a great climate. You can grow all sorts of organic fruits and vegetables in your own backyard. If you don't have a backyard, I like to remind folks that you can have a garden in a space the size of your TV. Get a planter box, or maybe coordinate with a few different neighbors where everybody gets a planter box. Put some seeds in the ground, get some organic soil going on, and plant some chard, some kale, some lettuce. You can grow carrots out here, tomatoes if you do them right, if they get enough sun. There's all sorts of great things that you can do in order to grow fresh, healthy food to make available for yourselves, your family, your friends and neighbors. 'Tis the season, so get out there and grow. I want to read a poem called Calendar, because of kind of what I was talking about before, how a lot of really ancient celebrations and ceremonies and rites were kind of, absorbed and rebranded. So here's some food for thought. It's called Calendar. They've tried to redefine time by putting it in a straight line and calling it clockwise. Digits in sequence winding and waiting down the red line, conveniently painted on the pavement. It's an order of artifice, carrying an air of correctness until it becomes questionless. When in fact it has supplanted actuality. A thousand suns could tell us which way to look for morning, but the subtle and unsettling oversight is the course of the moon running what would be called counter. But clearly it is the marker, orbit and watcher, seamstress and friend, putting the pattern before us. I'm Global Val. I really am happy you're tuning in to Women's Magazine today here at MutinyRadio.fm. Coming back after this next song, we're going to have President of the Board of Supervisors, London Breed, who is running for mayor, and she's in here today to talk about some of her policy ideas and also about being a San Franciscan and what that means for her and what it means in her role as President of the Board and potentially as her role as mayor. We shall see. June election is June 5th. And don't forget to get out there and register to vote. You got to do that, folks, or update your voter registration. You can go to registertovote.ca.gov. You can do it online. So simple. All right, folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
I saw me, looked at the children, and saw my own face. I saw myself dying all over the place. I saw myself hiding and shaking with fear, desperately wondering how I got here. From the seat on my bus to my mother's front door, to my shock, I had come home right into a war. So many years and we're back here again. Wasn't anyone listening then? Are we?
tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a patter? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it. Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a patter? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer you. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Asiento. Asiento. Take a seat at Asiento on 21st and Bryan. Meet friends for a drink, have delicious tapas, and a relaxed community atmosphere. Asiento, honestly, is a wonderful place. They have incredible bartenders and board games all over the walls, trivia on Mondays, taco Tuesdays, first Wednesday live jazz, live DJs Thursday, parties. The food is darn good. Special happy hour prices all night long. With your Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival ticket, March 1st through 5th. Check out the schedule at www.asientosf.com. Come take a seat. I had a date there and it did not go well. But it wasn't the fault of the place. They're very nice. Asiento.
For a burger, Mutiny Radio thinks you'll find the best burger in San Francisco at Counter Offer, located inside Bender's Bar and Grill. Counter Offer's menu aims to please your drunk face. Tater tots are served daily. On Tuesday nights, Counter Offer serves specials off the Taco Bell menu, only better. You can enjoy your favorite Taco Bell item without the guilt. Counter Offer uses only fresh ingredients and never store-bought shit. Special ingredients are made from scratch daily, including beans, ketchup, mustard, habanero sauce, and ranch dressing. Counter Offer even serves vegan mac and cheese. All of this great food is served 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily and until 11 p.m. on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Counter Offer is located inside Bender's Bar and Grill at 806 South Van Ness. Be sure to tell them Mutiny sent you. Counter Offer, baby.
Everybody should listen to Mutiny Radio at MutinyRadio.fm. It's a great place to listen to crazy things.
Subliminal SF Visual and Auditory Mind Control brings you the best, coolest t-shirt and hoodie designs and mind-bending local bands and shows at venues all over San Francisco and the Bay Area. Subliminal SF is here to destroy your sense of normalcy and plant ideas in your skull to make you cooler and a more awesome person. Check out all the badass products at subliminalsf.myshopify.com. That's subliminalsf.myshopify.com and experience Subliminal SF.
Yeah.
Welcome. Bender's Bar and Grill, located at 806 South Van Ness in the Mission District of San Francisco. Your favorite bar with awesome bartenders, rotating local art, and a killer back patio. It's a great place to hang out and play one of their two pool tables or old school pinball machine with a tasty adult beverage. Live music every Saturday for only $5. Bender's brings you face-melting metal and rock and roll. The last Friday of the month, punk rock and schlock delivers super fun karaoke with Aileen. Come on, what's not to like? They even have counter offer inside, frying up the tots with sexy hot burgers for your face. Open every day at 2 p.m. Their happy hour goes till 7 p.m. Bender's is proud to be a sponsor of the Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival because they are an awesome community asset to the dirtbags who keep art alive in the Mission. Bender's Bar and Grill.
Hi, welcome to My Limited View. I am your host, Sergio Novoa.
And I'm your co-host, Vanessa Wilkins.
Join us every Tuesday from 12 to 2 at mutinyradio.fm as we share stories, our personal stories.
And struggles and challenges.
And we'll also have guests come in and share their stories. And hopefully through all this, we can expand our view.
Or your view.
Yes, and there'll be plenty of dick jokes, so don't worry. It's not always going to be heavy.
Yeah, I might even share black hair tips.
Black hair tips. Don't know anything about it. Sorry.
All so, on My Limited View.
Yes, every Tuesday from 12 to 2. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts.
Oh, yeah, and Google Play.
And Stitcher.
iTunes. Oh, you already said that.
TuneIn Radio.
Stitcher, you said that.
Spotify.
Oh, my God, there's just so many.
And Overcast. Yes, you can also find us on social media, M as in Mary, L as in Larry, P as in Peter, podcast, MOV podcast is our handle. Until next time, I hope you're enjoying your view.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. That kind of sucked balls.
Good evening there, my friends here at MutinyRadio.fm. Chester Cashcock here, and giving you my love and regard as well as movies over there. And I just wanted to let you guys know that anytime I go swimming in my vault of rare coins and piles of filthy cash, I can't help but listen to Pamtastic's Comedy Clubhouse every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I mean, if anyone who knows anything about comedy knows that Pamtastic's books the best of San Francisco and beyond's underground comics. It's a great showcase, and they have a fun time at Pamtastic's deep in the Mission District, where you can laugh off your tushy for a mere $5 every Friday to 10 p.m. And I laugh because $5, I mean, that's what I use to wipe my tushy with. So to laugh it off for a mere $5 is indubitious. But if you can't make it to Mutiny Radio, well, don't even worry. Don't fret at all. You can simply download the podcast post-show and giggle in the comfort of anywhere, like your Aspen summer home on the mountain ridge with the kayak feeling. So all you got to do is just go to podcastics.pcrcollective.org/comedyclubhouse, or you can listen live every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. as your host Pam Benjamin brings you the best comedy from San Francisco and beyond the universe. And what's better than the universe? It's a cash cock, honey. Yeah.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny?
Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shoot. From time to time, I've given it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes?
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dang nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
on tonight.
Mutiny Radio listener, it's that time of year again. March 1st through 5th, it's time for the 4th annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival. Over 40 comics, 25 shows, 5 days, all here at Mutiny Radio, 2781 21st Street at Florida Street. 25 shows, 5 days, amazing comics from all over the United States here in San Francisco to entertain you. With 25 differently themed shows hosted by local San Francisco comedians, bringing you comedians from all over the United States here. Everything will be live, live streaming, and podcast post. Get your tickets. $10 a show, 25 shows, a million laughs. It's the 4th annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival brought to you by Benders, Counteroffer, and Subliminal SF. Eat flesh with the bear exoskeleton Contessa and check your horror horoscope on Horoscopia. Updated every 3 months. When you hear the trippy music, you know what time it is. It's Wednesday. It's 2 o'clock. And it is time to talk about gods and stuff. Odd. Some call me Tim. Yes, finally I timed it out correctly. I'm super excited because our guest on Some Call Me Tim, she knows all about timing because she's a comedian. Like a famous comedian from the 80s. Mm-hmm. Kathy Boudreau.
But everybody would know me as Kathy B back in 100 years ago.
So, and you used to do the Holy City Zoo thing.
I did.
And you like hobnobbing with Robin Williams. That doesn't make sense.
I used to babysit his kids.
You did what?
I babysat Zach and Zelda for like 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh my God.
So if they're around, I'd like to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Before it was Cody. I didn't know Cody. It was all pre-Cody.
Oh, I just, okay, so I forgot to break out Jesus, but usually the first thing I do is have you look deep into the eyes of Sparkle Jesus.
It's a detachable Jesus.
And we say, he's over there in that corner. I say, do you believe in Jesus?
I am a devout atheist.
Oh, wow.
I only believe in human beings.
But not to get stuck on Robin Williams, but.
And I believe in Robin Williams.
Absolutely, but if you're an atheist, you don't believe in like heaven or afterlife stuff?
I kind of believe, you know, cash and carry. This is what you get, and if you screw it up, that means you're screwing it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you have a cute dog. Do all dogs go to heaven?
If there's a heaven, there better be dogs there.
Absolutely. So did his suicide affect you pretty deeply?
It affected me so badly that I ended up getting a divorce.
Wow.
Yeah, it was insane. I was living in Las Vegas. I'd had a show there with a lot of comedians. It was kind of a starting to be a blossoming comedy scene there in Vegas with a lot of new folks coming in from Los Angeles. And all of a sudden, when he died, first of all, it was my ex-husband's birthday.
So, oh my God.
Yeah, so that was kind of a screw.
What a day.
And then it was just, you know, waking up and realizing all your friends are calling you up going, Robin's dead, Robin's dead, Robin's dead. And it's like,
oh
no.
God.
And first call I got was one of Zelda's friends who called me, yeah. You know, saying, oh yeah, Zelda's dad's gone. And so that's how I heard.
Wow.
So, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, it was hard for me to believe because when you are at the top of your game, he's
okay.
Your little puppy's under here.
Okay.
We're dog friendly here at Mutiny Radio.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the same thing with Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
It's like you're at the top of your game.
And Chris Cornell.
Yeah. Everybody wants to be you.
Yeah.
You're doing people's dream. And it's like, I mean, he's, not only is he an incredible stand-up, but then also he did comedic roles
and
in films.
Donated so much stuff to people. Like,
yeah.
Nobody knows about all the stuff he donated and gave away. And just was always kind. Always did all the benefits that anybody asked him to do.
It's, I mean, but that's the top of the game. And then it's like, why would you, how is that? So then it made I got depressed because I thought, if he thinks life isn't worth living, what the fuck am I doing?
Right. And then when he realized it was the medication that was the issue. Oh. Same with Chris Cornell. The medication was the issue. I mean,
like the antidepressant medication that makes you depressed.
Well, in Robin's case, it was the Parkinson's medication, which is one of the side effects is, you know, severe psychotic episodes. And, you know, he couldn't get
suicidal ideation.
Yeah. Could not get through it.
Wow.
Could not get through it. And Chris Cornell was on, you know, had been curing himself from all these, you know, demons and dragons of drugs. And then he went back on them, and it just, you know, all it takes is a little bit to make you a lot crazy when you've been off of them for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, same type of thing. And Anthony Bourdain. Oh, geez.
I know.
He had a piece of ass girlfriend and all the other things he had on the side.
He has a daughter. He has incredible TV shows. His books are great. What a writer. Like,
I have
a bunch of his books. And all of that. And when you look at someone that's at the top of their game and you're like,
right, and you just think, like, man, that's like the world's best buddy, because everybody thought they knew Anthony in some way or another.
Exactly,
he's the world's best buddy.
Right, and
so
then
twisted.
See, and that's why it's hard for me to believe that there's. I don't want to believe that there's nothing after.
See, now that's the hard thing. Now, I wish there were ghosts. I wish there were.
You don't believe in ghosts either?
I don't believe in ghosts. I know. I grew up in New England, where like the Salem witch trials happened and stuff, and people were like, "Man, you gotta believe in ghosts. You guys, witches. Yeah, okay. So we got witches, but
right, plenty of witches, yeah, but no ghosts.
No. Well, it's like we want so desperately to believe in something, because the idea that this is it is so
terrifying.
We're just a speck on the great big ethos. I mean, just a micro speck, and everything we are is part of everything else. So I guess in a way I sound Buddhist, but I'm not.
it's like that scene in I Heart Huckabees where what's his name? Dustin Hoffman. He's like, you know, the universe is this blanket, and we're all the same. You're over here, and this is over here, and this is over here, but we're all part of the same fabric. And it's a little thing he does, like
it's deep and lovely.
Yeah, he explains that sort of idea that we're all one. And I don't know. That's so far removed, because if we're a collection of our experiences,
right? But have you ever thought, like, if you had disappeared, who would you have affected by not being there?
Well, that's that movie. That's the, you know, when I get really depressed and down on myself, that's what I think. It's the, what's it called?
Which Dreams May Come?
It's a Wonderful Life syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, if you weren't here, what would have happened? You know, would it be called Potterville or whatever?
Well, you know, and I think about dumb things. So, like, I don't even remember that I've affected people with, I taught schools and I've done all sorts of weird stuff. Like, as you know, because I've been around for 100 years. I'm in my 50s.
Wow.
And I still date 28-year-olds.
Nice work.
Hey, you know, cougar like nobody else's car. I look at all the people and I don't realize you affect people, and suddenly you get an email from like somebody you knew from 1979. Wow. When I was like 15 or 14.
Sure.
And they're like, oh yeah, remember when you did this for me? No. Yeah, well, if you didn't do that, my grandmother would have still been would have been really depressed, and you cheered her up that day, and she was really talking about killing herself. And I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. So you don't realize how many people you affect.
Sure. I mean, this was a dumb question. I was going to be like, you don't believe in God, but do you believe in yourself?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I believe in humanity. You know, despite fucking Trump, I believe in humanity.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what shit goes down, there's always somebody putting out something better than the shit that's going down.
Higher quality or
kinder,
like
kindness. Kinder. Yeah, kindness. There's always like you might be in the this is what in LA
better like morality.
Yeah, well, I lived in LA where everybody's into themselves and plastic and Barbie-ish, and you know the egos are so
big. You
haven't
had work done. Your skin looks great if you're over 50.
I'm fat. Don't crack. No, I never have. It's part of my bone disease. I have this disease that makes my skin look really young. Which,
are you kidding? It's the freakiest weirdest
thing. But I'm really happy about it. My great grandmother was like 102 when she died. She didn't look a day past 80. but you know, you're driving in traffic in LA and somebody's blowing bubbles out of their car. Now that's like the tiniest bit of kindness. Like everybody's grumpy and bitchy and moany, and all of a sudden there's bubbles flying by your window. It's like, oh, this is crap, but look, there's a bubble. You know?
Wow.
You know.
So Did you? How long did you live in L.A.?
I lived there in 88 to 90s, then I came here for a couple of years, then I moved to New Mexico. But I was in there for a while.
Did you? Were you in L.A. for comedy?
I was in there for, yeah, I went to grad school at CalArts, and I was doing, I did stand up at the Comedy Store. I was one of the regulars down there.
Cool.
And then Second City down there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you have an MFA in acting?
I have an MFA in animation.
What?
Yeah. I have a very strange life. You can ask me questions all day and you'll be gone.
You have an MFA in animation?
Yeah. Because when you get out of the Navy, what's the first thing you do?
You were in the Navy?
Yeah, see? You go to art school.
So you started stand-up comedy when you were like 18, 17?
When I was 17. Dennis Leary bet me. Did I tell you this story?
You have not told me this story.
Okay, this is a great story. In 1981, I was working as email back in those days. For those who don't know, email back then was somebody tapping you on the shoulder and saying, go deliver this message to somebody. And you'd run down the street and you deliver it and you come back. So I was email for this theater company, which is the Charles Playhouse in Boston, where they had the Comedy Connection.
Right.
And Dennis Leary and Paula Poundstone and Steve Sweeney and all these amazing people started there. And Dennis said to me one day that if you make people laugh for a minute, I'll give you $1 on stage tonight. I said, okay, cool. So that night I snuck in, because you weren't supposed to go in if you were under 21.
Sure.
And so I made him laugh for a minute, and he kept nodding, like, go ahead. So I made him laugh for another minute. Go ahead. Okay. So like three or four minutes. So I did 10 minutes before he said, okay, stop. And said, what's the matter? I suck. I know I'm taking him. He said, no, I'm out of money. So I'm like, okay, cool. So that was my first gig.
Wow.
First gig was a paid gig.
Your
And I sucked like for 6 months after that. But it was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you could just get stage time even though you were underage.
Yeah, mostly it was just because I knew everybody and I'd been...
I learned because of these... I got in trouble with the ABC a while back. I didn't understand that BYOB isn't a thing in San Francisco.
Isn't that bizarre?
Anyways, I learned from... But what I learned is that you can be a musician mm-hmm. and be in a bar and play. Mm-hmm. That's legal. But when you're not on stage, you have to be outside.
Exactly.
But if you're a stand-up comedian, it doesn't count.
Nope. You can't
be a stand-up comedian. You can only be a musician.
Right.
And I thought that's so funny.
Because they're not considered the same performance thing. And it was because the musicians union, of all things.
It's because of the musicians.
Yeah. So yeah, I found that out too, doing jazz music.
Because I learned like you have to have an instrument. But I'm like, what if you're a singer? And they're like...
Yeah, what if you're an a cappella artist?
I was like, poetry, spoken word? They're like, nope.
I dance on poles and I sing the operettas. Doesn't that count?
I think if you're singing, that's an interesting... I wonder if that's a good... As long as you're singing. So if you were a singing comedian or a comedian with a guitar, then
Gary
you must
Muldeer
be okay.
Gary would work everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. For those who don't know who Gary Muldeer is, look up 1922 comedian. No, he's from the 70s.
So you were a kid and you started doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And you met all these crazy famous people.
I met all these before they were crazy and famous. Like Steve Wright, I think I met him the week before he left for L.A.
Wow.
So he had just started to be huge. And everybody in all the comedy clubs were like glued to their TV during shows going, Steve's on the Tonight Show. We're like,
wow,
this is amazing.
Yeah.
So.
And then you went off into the Navy?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I was living in Boston, and I was in art school. I graduated high school early, because that's what you do when you're bored and you're 17, you get the life in your hands. And I decided to I wanted to pay for school. I couldn't afford it. My dog is crying. Sorry.
Yes.
I ended up in the Navy to pay for school. And I worked at a dive company, and my job was to pull bodies out of airplanes, of all things.
What?
Yeah. So when I see a familiar face, it makes me a little wiggy.
What?
Yeah.
And that's got to be hard because you don't believe in it. Even being in the military, have you always been an atheist?
No. I had 2 years of being a Bible thumper.
Oh my God.
2 whole years of it. And that was 1 year was in I was 1 year before I got in the Navy and 1 year while I was in the Navy.
Did you pray to Jesus a lot?
I did the whole going to churches where people spoke in tongues and
wow.
Yeah.
Pentecostal.
I think they just called it non-denominational evangelical.
All right.
Cracker people.
Sure. So. I've read this Bible thing. So in Acts, there's a point where they mention that the Holy Spirit entered everyone in, you know, Jesus was gone, he rose to heaven or whatever, but the Holy Spirit came down and entered the people and they spoke in tongues. And so there's certain sects of Christianity that, not S-E-X, but S-E-C-T, sects of Christianity that believe that you can't truly be a Christian unless you speaking in tongues.
Yeah, the words of the Lord are going through your mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was part of all those people, and it was more or less because I was into music and I was just kind of into gospel music and I just kind of hung out with churches that had music.
Yeah,
and that was the whole reason I was into the whole Christer thing for a while. But then I started realizing how much hypocrisy there is, and like the women were treated like crap, and you know, that just threw me. I just couldn't deal with the fact that how could you believe in something that treats women like this.
And it's so funny when people twist the Bible around and say that, you know, there's a bunch of stuff in the New Testament too that talks about the wedding and marriages and the body of Christ and the body of the church and what can women speak and men speak, all this weird
stuff. And all the rapes in Deuteronomy.
Oh, yeah.
Unending rapes in Deuteronomy.
Well, my favorite thing is the story of Lot. When first, you know, Lot's wife gets turned into a pillar of salt, and then when they're running away, he and his daughters are, you know, in a cave in the mountains, and his daughters get him drunk and rape him so that they think they're the last Jews on earth and they want to repopulate.
Yeah.
So first it's like Sodom and Gomorrah are so bad.
The books of Lilith that aren't released.
Right.
You know,
the Gnostics.
Yeah.
Those are what the books that were written about Jesus that were, there are some, I guess, written by women. He had all kinds of disciples.
They were exempted by the Gregorians and all those who did all those copies.
But then the thing is that if we get into that, was Jesus real? Was he a real guy?
Well, you know, there's been studies on that, and they've been trying to prove historic Jesus for decades and decades and decades. I don't know if you remember old Jesus. Leonard Nimoy did a whole thing of In Search of Historic Jesus.
Wow.
And there's archaeologists in Oxford and all these other places trying to look for hints that there might have been.
Yeah.
And what they've discovered is there has been a theme of one or two leaders in religions over the last 4,000 years. From Buddha to Christianity to Muslim, where there's one specific male leader.
Yeah.
And all of the themes have been almost identical. So they could trace these themes as one story going to another story going to another story going to another story.
Sure.
And so they're tracing, they're trying to trace events with physical items. And they've been able to trace some stories through physical items.
Right, like the shroud or like certain things.
Well, and archaeological digs and buildings, specific buildings that exist that they didn't think might have existed because they thought it might have just been a fairy tale.
Well, there's the Ark thing. Some people believe that it's on top of Mount Ararat or whatever.
And meanwhile, like, in Turkey.
Really? Yeah, meanwhile in Turkey.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I was looking for my double elephants. I couldn't figure out where I left him. Oh, yes, I left him in Turkey.
On top of it.
They don't have platypuses in Turkey, so that can't be true.
Well, marsupials are the weirdest, right?
Aren't they cute, though? They keep their little babies in their bellies.
Marsupials are, it's like, I don't know, they're like aliens, just
switch genetics
around.
They're the original Takamuchis. I mean, I've got a symbiotic twin in my stomach.
Duck-billed platypus stuff. I'm like, those are real.
They're so cool. And then they have the little marmot-looking things that look like meerkats. They're just tiny little marsupials. They're pocket marsupials.
Oh,
and it's like, I want one.
Marsupials.
I want a pocket. And my favorite animal, of course, is the tapir.
Right, they have like weird noses.
Yeah, they look like aardvarks, but they look like rats.
And I think that George Lucas made one of his aliens look like a tapir.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They're so cute.
With the weird like face that kind of flops over there.
And the best animal of all is a capybara.
I'm partial to the red panda.
Oh, the red panda. That makes me want to eat Chinese food now. Thanks.
Yeah. Or no, is it the... Yeah, no, and then kangaroos are cute too.
Tree kangaroos are very cute.
Yeah.
And sloths.
So, like, all these, I just wonder, like,
so
all
Turkey
these different
has none
animals.
Of those animals. Turkey has none of those animals, so that whole thing being up there is just bullshit.
It's bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
This is, I'm just switching into left field. How much do you. When you're on stage, do you just sort of make things up? Or are you a serious writer? Or you came from Second City, so you were an improv person.
Yeah, so most of my... I've never done the same show twice, but I've done a lot of the same bits over and over again. So what I do is I try to get there early, read the audience, see what they're about, and then work my regular bits into what the audience is about.
Gotcha.
But I write all the time.
Yeah,
I have.
You're constantly coming up with new bits.
Yeah, I have to. And I did a whole thing about religion, like being that my, you know, I used to say that my mom raised me to believe Jesus was my brother, and that Christmas time we'd have to give all our toys to the church, it's all our Christmas presents to the church because we had to give, and then we'd get them back from the firemen. You know, so like, okay, so they didn't come from us, so it's good.
Were you weren't. Financially, you were
I was poor.
You were poor.
I was poor.
Yeah.
I grew up near the projects in Boston. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And my family's mixed race. So it's like, yeah. So we're like a very strange family.
What's your mixed race?
So I have African American.
That's why you don't crack, girl. It ain't fat, don't crack. It's black, don't crack.
And that's why my butt looked the way it do. And that's why I can sing and have rhythm.
they're good stereotypes to have.
Oh, man.
You don't look like African American at all.
No, my dad is French, Italian, and African, and my mom is Irish.
Oh.
So there's like a quarter of me is African.
So you're like an octoroon.
That's right. so half my family hates the other half of the family, and it's for all different reasons.
My ex-husband was African American, and he had very light skin, and I guess they're called high yellows.
High yellows, yep, or passers, so, which is the other phrase. We used to be called passing when we were growing up. Here, oh, they're just passers.
Oh man,
yeah.
It's hard. I mean,
and then when you deal with racism, with racism, looking like I do, because I have red hair, and green eyes,
yeah.
So people look at me and they don't think, oh, she must be from Nigeria. They think, oh, she must have come off the boat from Scotland.
Yeah.
And then I listen to the racist stuff people say in front of me.
Sure.
And I want to turn around and go, girl, I'm gonna kick your ass. You know, I just ain't gonna put up with it. No.
But then people think you're culturally appropriating.
Right. So the only way I can deal with it is to just, you know, confess that my family's who they are, and then I look at other people and I go, you know, your family is probably just as mixed up as my family.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Ted Cruz, the biggest racist on the planet, he's got the name Cruz. Rafael Cruz.
Yeah.
Que quieras, yo no sé.
I mean, the thing that's weird about racism is that the people that are perpetuating it think that they don't think they're being mean. So it's like when I look
I don't know.
At
I think McConnell doesn't care if he's mean or not.
I think though that they think they're being moral people.
I think.